Blog Talk Radio.
Praise God. I want to welcome you to another episode of the Miracle Man Show here on Wednesday, July 8th of 2020. And it's hard to believe already July 8th. Man, the month is flying, the summer is flying as it does. Summer usually flies really quick, even now it is, and can never really slow it down. Of course, I wish the summer went by a lot slower than what winter does. Sadly, though, it has to work the other way. And I don't know really how I feel about that. I'm so glad that you could join us here on the Miracle Man Show. However you tuned in, whether you've called in or whether you have gotten on via the website, and we're so glad that you're streaming, tuning in from wherever you are, whether it be here in Michigan where I'm at, or around America or around the world. We're so glad that you've made the determination to tune in to the broadcast tonight and hopefully to learn something from the Word of the Lord. Obviously, tonight we're continuing with our End Time series. This will be part three, where we're dealing with the 7-year tribulation. Then next week we'll be dealing with hell, heaven, and then after that we'll be dealing with the 1,000-year reign. And what all happens. And we are, if you didn't know this, listeners, we are in the last days. And if you think this virus meant that, and you think this virus will be the last pandemic, it's a practice run, because what'll be the next big event? A virus? A pandemic? I don't know. But we're getting closer and closer to the end all the time. I know that much. And part of what they've done is because they want control. They want to control people. It's not just about a virus. You can think it is, but some of it, only to a degree. The enemy has had plans for a long time. I'm not going to delve into all of that tonight. I am not going to use all my airtime to get into all the different people have wrote in different books. One that I know of, somebody that I know of has a book coming out in a week. And of course, it's someone that I trust a lot. By no means is he a conspiracy theorist. I don't do conspiracy. I do real. Because the way I look at it, listeners, we have enough conspiracies going on, and I don't take my time messing with them. If you want to, that's your deal. But I don't do conspiracy, nor do I do fear. I go by what's real and what's actually going on. And like I said, I'm not going to take a bunch of time tonight to get into everything that's going on. I will say this. Isn't it crazy, listeners, that that you know, it's like it's okay to go riot and loot and all that, but it's not okay to go to church or go to a funeral because you could catch COVID there. Also, what it's crazy to me that you can go line up at Home Depot, Meijer, Wally World, or you could go to, you know, anyone line up to any one of those stores. Oh, but to line up at a graduation ceremony? No, that's pretty messed up, isn't it? I think it's messed up. So, that being said, what a crazy day, you know, that we live in. And, of course, in one state, they tell you that it's okay, you can have your church open, but don't you dare sing. Oh, because if you sing, you know, COVID could come out of your voice box, your saliva, or whatever. That's messed up. That's messed up, isn't it? So that just goes to show you, you know, the day that we live in, and we have to continue to curse the enemy and pray that God would just push the reins off of Pharaoh's chariot, and that's what we have to believe God for, that the plague and whatever the plan of the enemy is, that it would be brought to naught. Whatever the plan is that he has for going forward. And so, like I said, we have to just, you know, believe God. And so, anyhow, also wanted to remind you with how hot it is outside, has been the last few days, will be for a couple more days, to be careful in the seat. If you're outside, if you have to work outside, make sure you drink lots of water. The more you sweat, the more you need. And just to be smart about it, about the heat. You can always think you can handle more than what you think you actually can. Or sometimes, of course, it can go the other way. Depends on the person. Got to find that good balance. And if you can, it's a good idea to go inside and take a little AC break. Make sure your AC is turned nice and cold. Yes, Mother, if you're listening to me, I know that you now love the cold air conditioner. Yes. Hallelujah. Because after all, the cold AC helps you revelate better. But it only works if it's warm outside. If it's real cold out, of course you need to turn that thing off. And then you might revelate better when it's nice and warm. You know, when you're close to that furnace. I always think when you're the most comfortable is when you revelate the best. That makes sense, doesn't it? Yeah. Yeah, like when you're in that, like in the winter, like when you're in that nice hot shower. Or you're in that hot tub at the local gym. Oh, wait a minute, those are shut down. But I mean, normally, you know, You know, like you just find that place of comfort. You know, and you're almost like dozed off. I remember one time, like about 2 years ago or so, I'm sitting there Sunday morning in my church, and Dr. Buckley's preaching a message. At some point, he's talking about the Holy Spirit and mentioning Dr. Summerall, and suddenly, his alarm goes off, and both me and him kind of jump. Like, somehow I must have almost dozed in my seat. I don't know why that happened. I don't know why I jumped. I wasn't particularly tired. It wasn't like I was super tired from the night before or anything. I don't know. Guess I just must have gotten into a little bit of a trance or something, I guess. I remember it was nice and warm in there. It was an average winter day. Not one of those, you know, really, really cold ones, like where it's like 18 or 12 or something during the day and at or below zero at night. No, it was average. But for whatever reason, I had kind of almost dozed off, and then I jumped when his alarm went off. And guess what? So did Pastor. So, yeah, it's pretty amazing. I want to remind you of a couple things before we sing a bit and then get into the Word of the Lord. I want to remind you, first of all, to remember to do those three homework assignments I've told you about, reading Psalm 23 every day out loud to your family, reading Psalm 91 every day, and every day at noon, we're cursing that virus, we're calling it dead, praying that the Lord would just stretch out his hand and the plague will be stayed from off the land as the blood is applied. And that's what we're believing God for. And of course, if you're at church at 12 o'clock when it goes, if you set your alarm, by all means on Sunday morning, just make sure you set your phone on silent. In case you're in there in the service at 12 o'clock. And if you're in there at 12 o'clock, maybe when you get out of church on your way out to your car, if you're walking outside of your church, just look up to heaven and curse. No, don't curse the sun. Curse that virus. Because I have a feeling if some of you start looking at the sun and getting angry at it, it'll start raining every day in the summer, and I don't want that. I'd rather keep the 90s than having it be rain all summer, right? Because I'd rather it be super sunny, as few of those all-day rainy and cloudy days as possible. Or I think we've done really good on that so far. We've only had like one or two of those real cloudy days since like June 10th. I based it on June 11th, because that's would have been the last day of school had school been normal. I feel like there's only been two of those really cloudy days since then. Does that sound about right?
I believe so.
Only two, so that's actually a little bit below normal, I feel like, to this point, isn't it?
The grass agrees, it's scorched.
As far as the amount of like 87 degrees and higher, I would say to this point, at least for your lifetime and mine, I would say we have to be close to a record high. Don't you think?
I do.
Nope. That was back in May before Memorial Day, so that one doesn't count.
Okay. What does it look like coming up this week? Because it's 90. It was about 95
today. Basically, next week we cool down for a few days. Like Friday, they'll be because showers and thunders from Saturday and Sunday, mid 80s. Saturday upper, Sunday and Monday mid. Tuesday back to 90 we go, and then low 90s, mid 90s up to next Friday.
Oof.
And then after 10 days, it's hard to tell. I'm guessing some more mid 90s in there, and then listeners, I think we're going to see here in Michigan one of the warmest Julys on record. We already had two of them in a row in 2011 and 2012. Some of your listeners may remember that. And then last year, July was quite – last year, July wasn't necessarily quite near a record, but it was just quite warm. Remember? That's a good way to put it. It was just quite warm because we had some days towards the end of July, like those last like 8-10 days were what kind of helped renormalize it. Remember?
Mm-hmm.
It was on track to be equal with like 11 and 12 or close to it, but then it got a little bit more normalized. But still quite warm, still a bit more than normal. But so I have to wait and see what happens. Of course, around here with some of these malls, I used to joke years ago and say, "How do you spell July? D-E-A-D." But nowadays outside, with how July lately has kind of dominated the other summer months when it comes to heat, we'll have to see how the second half of July goes. Well, we're only halfway through the first half, though, but still, based on how it goes. June was pretty warm this year. August, we have to wait to see. Now I would tease and say, like, how do you spell July? H-O-T-T. And I purposely only left it up four letters, because then you'd have to determine E-R or E-S-T. Obviously, it would have to depend on the year. But anyhow, like I said, you know, stay safe. If you can get to a good beach, you know, go to one. Make sure you put on, you know, that sunscreen. Sometimes I wish there was a dry sunscreen. No, I didn't say dye. I said I meant dry sunscreen. You know, that it just kind of comes on. Imagine if you could just tell Siri to put on your sunscreen. Siri, put on. Oh, it's not going to do it while I'm connected. Siri.
We find the future yet.
I want to be able to tell Siri to, you know, just put on my sunscreen for me. You know, and that'd be so cool. Or tell Siri to set the AC to the certain temperature that I want. If it's too cold, I tell her to raise it. If it's too warm, you know, lower it to that certain set temperature that I want. And that'd be so neat. Or like if we're on the road and we're traveling, I'd want to do that to my mom before she comes back into the hotel room, and what if Siri could tell when my mom's about to enter the room and then readjust the temperature accordingly? Because then she won't know that it's too cold. Right? Because then she won't know. That way me and my dad, we have a chance to have our nice cold AC that me and my dad dream about, both, and my brother. It's crazy. In some families, it's the guy who loves the cold AC and does not like the sun. Other times, it's the lady who does not like the cold AC. I mean, who does like the cold AC does not like the sun. I am one of the rare ones where I like the cold AC as well as the sun. Most people are mainly one way or the other, I feel like, huh?
Definitely so.
Like generally, if you're the cold AC person, normally you'd be the person who stays kind of isolated from the sun, you would think, huh?
Definitely. I'm an AC person.
You're the cold AC, keep me out of the sun type person?
Definitely so.
Whereas I am actually both, like the cold AC, but also like the hot. I guess it's part of the go big or go home, I guess. I don't know. Cause I just like it all. Big. But anyhow, also I wanted to remind you guys to, while you're out and about, to go to your local McDonald's and pick up an any size soft drink for the low price of just $1. Of course, make sure you drink some water, but while you're out there, grab yourself an ice cold Coke. And I know they say you shouldn't drink caffeine when it's hot. Personally, I think that's when a Coca-Cola is the best, is when it's 90 plus outside. Don't you agree?
Becky does.
Becky, don't you think that's the best time to drink a Coke is when it's 90 plus?
Yeah.
Like when it's like 90, 92 or whatever. Yeah. Of course, as long as you're in something with AC or buy water, like by a pool or something, you know, and you still got the sun out the window because obviously you don't want to be too isolated from the sun, of course, while you're drinking it, because after all it's summer and you don't want that sad to kick in real bad in the winter, you know, seasonal affective disorder. That's what sad stands for. You've heard of that, right?
I have not, actually.
It's a disorder that a lot of people can get in the winter, especially those who live in northern climates. Like where they do really good when it's summer and that, but then during the winter, it can be easier for them to get depressed from all the cloudiness, the cold, and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
That's why I said seasonal affective disorder is real.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot more people have it than what they say. And I think most people have it to a degree, even if not clinically, because obviously there's to a degree where they wouldn't even call it serious to the point like where you need anything, but you still have it to a degree. Like you see what I mean? Like you can still have it to a degree, but it not be clinically.
Mm-hmm.
Like it wouldn't be beyond what they would call normal, you know? Because just certain ways the body works. Of course, some people prefer the cold in the winter, which I think is kind of crazy. I'm like, then why aren't you in Alaska? And if you're one of those people, like Florida, the southern U.S., that's the worst place for you, for someone who likes the cold.
That's where the sun can get so hot, the asphalt melts down in Florida and Texas.
You what?
I go to Cadillac. It's really cold there.
Cadillac? That's only an hour and a half from here.
It's really cold.
You really think it's that much worse?
Deeper than my arm.
Yeah. So you go by snow dumps.
I thought about visiting Alaska because I am a person who enjoys the cold. I actually use a fan even in winter.
Oh.
Yep.
It's hot, yeah.
So.
Well,
What would you suggest for people just to make the best of the summer that we have?
I'm gonna move on now. But anyhow, like I said, listeners, we're gonna sing, and then we're gonna go into for a bit. And say, first of all, Jesus, lover of my soul, Jesus, I will never let you go. You've taken me from the miry clay. You set my feet upon a rock, and now I know I love you, I need you. Though my world may fall, I'll never let you go. My Savior, my closest friend, I will worship you until the very end. Jesus, you're the lover of my soul. Jesus, I will never let you go. You've taken me from the miry clay. You set my feet upon a rock, and now I know I love you, I need you. Though my world may fall, I'll never let you go. My Savior, my closest friend, I will worship you until the very end. I love you, I need you. Though my world may fall, I'll never let you go. My Savior, my closest friend, I will worship you until the very end. I will worship you until the very end. I will worship you until the very end. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I am not alone. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He goes forth behind me. I won't fear. He always guides me. My cup overflowing. He always guides me. I won't fear. Hallelujah, I am not alone. He's my comfort, holds me close. Yes, sing hallelujah, I am not alone. Hallelujah, he's my comfort, He always draws me close. He always guides me. The rivers and valleys, He always finds me. I'm never alone. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah, I am not alone. He's my comfort, He's my comfort. He always draws me close. Oh, Your Spirit dwells within me, so I shall walk in Your ways. Your Spirit dwells within me, my victory. Your Spirit dwells within me, so I shall walk in Your peace. Your Spirit dwells within me, my victory, my victory. Your Spirit dwells within me, so I shall walk in Your peace. Your Spirit dwells within me, my victory, my victory. Lord, hallelujah. I am not alone. He's my comfort, Lord. He's my comfort. He always draws me close. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I am not alone. He's my comfort, He's my comfort. He always draws me close. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus, for tonight. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for all these listeners who have made the determination to tune into this program. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that they've come with a heart to receive. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that Your hand is on us, that You lead us and guide us. We are never alone. You're always there with us. You're always there. You always lead us and guide us. And You're always right there. You're our shepherd. And I just give You all the praise and honor and glory for what You're doing in us, through us. And I just give You permission, Lord God, to interrupt me as we study Your word. That I give You permission to do whatever You would want to do. And I thank You, Lord Jesus. I make my confession tonight over this program, that sponsors and partners come into this program, that increases in listenership come to this program, that finances come in. And most important of all, Jesus, I thank You for a harvest of souls coming into the kingdom of God as a result of this great radio program. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen. And amen. Praise God. Open your Bible, if you would please, to the book of Matthew, the 24th chapter. Praise God, Matthew 24, and tonight we're talking about the tribulation, and we're talking about what is it, how long is it. In addition to 24, I'm going to share with you a few other verses that you will not need to turn to because I'm just going to refer to them. But we're going to Matthew 24.
And I want to encourage you to just follow along for the next file. And go from there. Just giving you a minute to find Matthew 24. Giving you like 20 seconds. If you don't find it, you're going to new convert class. Okay. All right. Matthew 24, verse 1. And Jesus left the temple, and he was walking away when his disciples came up to him to call his attention to his buildings. Do you see all these things? He asked. I tell you the truth. Not one stone here will be left on another. Every one of these will be thrown down. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, Teacher, tell us, they said, when will this happen? What will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Jesus answered, Watch out that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, claiming, I am the Christ, and they will deceive many. You will hear of wars, and you will hear of rumors of wars. See to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines, earthquakes, pestilences in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death. And you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. Many false prophets will appear and will deceive many people. Because of the increase in wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. So when you see standing in the holy place, quotation, the abomination that causes desolation, quote, spoken of through the prophet Daniel, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let no one go on the roof of his house. Let no one who is on the roof of his house go down to take anything out of that house, not even if it's an icy cold Coca-Cola or one of those Slurpees or one of those coupons to go get said items. I wish, of course, but nope, don't go down and get, let no one go to take anything out of his house, and let no one in the field go back to get his cloak. He said, it said cloak, it didn't say his coke. How dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women, nursing mothers. Pray that your flight, not your airplane flight, pray that your flight will not take place in winter or on the Sabbath. For then there will be great distress, unequaled from the beginning of the world until now and will never be equaled again. Listeners, you see right there is where it talks about that tribulation. That verse right there. We're gonna come back to this one. And this is Matthew 24:21. If those days had not been cut short, no one would survive. But for the sake of the elect, these days will be shortened. At that time, if anyone says to you, look, here's the Christ, there he is, don't believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will appear and will perform great signs and miracles to deceive even the elect, if that were possible. See, now I have told you ahead of time. So if anyone tells you, there he is out in the desert, do not go out. Or, here he is in the inner room, do not believe it. For as lightning that comes from the east is visible even in the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Wherever there is a carcass, there the vultures will gather. Immediately after the distress of these days, the sun will be darkened. The moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky. The heavenly bodies will be shaken. That time, you'll see the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all the nations of the earth will mourn. Then you will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near, like we're in right now, in case you didn't realize it's 90 degrees outside. Even so, when you see all these things, you know that it is near, right at the door. I tell you the truth. This generation will certainly not pass away until all of these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away. My words will never pass away. Verse 36. No one knows about the day or the hour, not even the angels in heaven, not even the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, up until the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in a field. Okay. One will be taken, the other will be left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill. One will be taken, and the other will be left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. Understand, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would keep watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom the master has put in charge of the servants in his household to give them their food at the proper time? Many will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. I tell you the truth, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose that servant is wicked, and he says to him, so, my master is staying away a long time. And then he begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he is not aware of. He will cut him to pieces and will assign him a place with the hypocrites, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Alright. Back it up a bit, listeners. Back to verse 21 in particular. 21 and 22. For then they will be great distress, unequaled from the beginning of the world until now, and will never be equaled again. If those days had not been cut short, no one would survive. But for the sake of the elect, these days will be shortened. At that time, if anyone says to you, look, here's the Christ, there he is, don't believe it. All right. So, let's talk about it. Basically, what we've discovered tonight is that this great tribulation, obviously, if not, it's great in the sense that it's big, but it's not great in the sense that it's troubling. And when you get tribulation, you basically get trouble, time of trouble. And 7 years of trouble. And and you see, even the beast is allowed to reign for 42 months, so 3.5 of the 7 years. It is very safe to assume that is part of the seven years tribulation. And some of you may wonder, well, Miracle Man, do we as Christians, do we live here on earth through the tribulation? Are we in it right now? Well, to that I would say, listener, glad you asked. And to be honest with you, this is not the tribulation right now. How do you know, Miracle Man? Because too much of the church is still here. there are still too many churches. There are still too many righteous people for them to easily just be able to get rid of us, all. There's too many. Even in Genesis, Abraham was speaking with, Lot was speaking with God and communing with God. And God kept saying, if I find 50 righteous people, I will not destroy Sodom. What if there's only 40 found there? I won't destroy it. There's 40 to 35. I won't destroy it. 30. No. 25. Nope. 20. Nope. 10. I will not destroy it for the sake of 10. There were not 10. The city got destroyed. I think there's a lot more than 10 righteous people in this country, on this planet. Hey, there's more than 10 in this city. I'm not trying to laugh, but it's true. And obviously it depends on how many missed the rapture. Last night we talked on the rapture. Tonight we're dealing with the tribulation. And in the tribulation, the way I see it, it will not be good at all. Basically, you won't be able to really have church in the tribulation. You'll have to be underground. Or there might be some, don't know for sure. But there will be a lot of deception in them. Just as we have right now, there's deception in the body of Christ. And it can be easy to deceive if you're not watching and paying attention. That's why it's important that you watch and pay attention. Jesus said, watch out that you be not deceived. But deception is not cool. It's not cool to be deceived and led astray. And I know if I was led astray, I wouldn't be so happy about it. All right. Now. And then talks about how the days will be cut short. You say, what's that? That is referring to that rapture that we talked about last night, where Jesus comes and gets his elect from the four winds. That is where Jesus comes and takes us out of here. And obviously, we won't know when he's going to come. We will not know when he's going to come. We won't know what day, what hour, what minute, what the weather will be. By that, I mean, we won't know if it's going to be, if it's going to be like 95 out or if it's going to be like well below zero. We won't know at all how it's going to be. Obviously, we'll continue to see wickedness increasing. Now, but as I said, with the tribulation, that'll be a day that'll be an event that has never been seen before and will never be seen again. Now, even as, and obvious. And trust me, listeners, you do not want to be here during the tribulations, because it will not be pretty. It will not be pretty. Because if you're going to be a Christian on the face of the earth at that point, you'll almost have to hide. You would almost have to, almost. There would be so much persecution. Being a Christian just about everywhere would be illegal. And I'm not just talking about what we have right now. Because even though in a lot of places they shut down churches, and then a lot of places they open back up, at least to a degree, the days of the tribulation, it'll basically be, we'll go after you if you're even a Christian. It's already like that in some countries. It has been for a long time. Jesus did say, though, that he won't come until the gospel has been preached to every nation of the earth. Every nation. That's one of the requirements that Jesus said had to happen first, before Jesus could come back, before the rapture could happen. But in the tribulation, that'll be basically the demons will have free reign on the earth. It'll be when God will be pouring out his wrath on the earth. And like I said, it won't be pretty. It'll be a time of great suffering for those who choose to stay. Say, are we in the tribulation? Nope. Too much of the church is still here. You could say we're at the beginning of sorrows. We're at the period of sorrows. So, in other words, yes, we are in the last of the last days. No, you say, what about this idea that days will be shortened? Well, it's not like we're going to go from 12-hour days to 5-hour days. That's not what he means by that. Because every day on the face of the earth will still be 24 hours. What Jesus meant by that is that he will is coming to get us out of here before the tribulation, when he pours out his wrath on the earth. And when the devil is able to just continue to do to have his free will. And like I said, the tribulation will be the period of great birth pains. And of course, when he said, pray that your flight doesn't take place in winter or on the Sabbath, that's not an airplane flight. So don't worry about that. Don't change your flight ticket. that's not what he's talking about. Like, oh, we can't fly on Saturday. We can't fly during the winter. If that was the case, why would any of you bother taking a plane to go winter in Florida, even for a week? unless you, of course, unless you were driving. But that's not the kind of flight, quote unquote, that he was talking about. That was a different connotation, you see. But in Revelation also talks some about the tribulation and Revelation 3, Revelation 13, the chapter where we talked about the mark of the beast. We talked about the mark of the beast last Tuesday, and we dealt with that and how you'll have, and how with the mark of the beast, you'll have to have the mark of the beast in order to buy, sell, trade, travel. And you say, do you think the vaccine has something to do with this? Well, I don't know for sure. If Gates and those who are behind it have their way, to a degree, yes. If, however, we only get a proper vaccine that works the right way, that only does what it's supposed to do and is not necessarily mandatory but only optional, then, yeah. By the way, in case you guys haven't heard me say this, I hope most of you have, but if we go, America goes the way of mandatory vaccines, it will be a cold day in hell with the devil singing Frosty the Snowman. If we go the way of mandatory forced vaccines. Surprised you didn't laugh. Don't you think that's funny? Don't you think that's funny?
Are you allowed to say that on the air?
Yes. I think it's funny. It is. It is funny, isn't it? One time I was at my doctor, like around the start of June. I said that in my doctor's office that if we go the way, it'd be a cold day and the hell with the devil sitting across it. He thought it was hilarious. He did, and I said it right there. I'm probably maybe his only patient that said that.
I can imagine.
And he
heard that quite before.
Yeah, he probably never did, and he thought it was, and even he, who was a medical doctor, he thought it was pretty hilarious. And his receptionist basically said, at least we don't have to worry about that today. You know, and he's basically saying, like, obviously if it's the right vaccine that's going to work right, you know, that then I might, you know, has the right stuff in it. Then maybe, but if it has all this stuff like what it is that they want to do, then I'm not going to be forced to take. Nonetheless, this mark of the beast, it's this chip that'll be planted on your forehead or on your arm. And what it is, listeners, is that you'll have to be able to have it. You'll have to have it. Otherwise, you won't be able to buy and sell. That's why this cashless society that they want is not a good idea. And so we are seeing the last days, listeners, unfolding right in front of us. Jesus said there would be earthquakes, there would be famines. In various places, there'd be pestilences. The stars would fall from the sky. And we haven't had any stars hit Earth yet, but
Once you have that happen, then you'll know. But like I said, there are signs. And of course, we all have to watch out, because it'll be just like the days of Noah. Until the rapture happens, it'll be the day like the days of Noah. Buying, selling, planting, building, marrying, giving in marriage. Going to the football game to watch the football game. Maybe sitting by the band, maybe sitting behind the student section. I don't know. Maybe you hear the trumpet call, maybe, which will not sound like anything in the stadium, by the way. Nope. But obviously in the days of Lot, a different time, different thing. But basically eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, buying, selling, planning, building. Just like today. And even though a bunch of stuff is still on lockdown or whatever you want to call it, there's still people, eating, drinking, buying, selling. Some stuff is still being planted. Some stuff is still being built. Well, not to the same degree, but needless to say, obviously it's not like the Bible could tell you everything that's going to happen. He just said there'd be pestilence, earthquakes, famines. So some of things, wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed, because those things must happen. But the end is not yet. In that case, the end is not yet. As he said, the end is still to come. Or, as you could say, the end is not yet. But it's on its way. So, listeners, you do not want to be here during the tribulation. You do not want to be here during the tribulation, because tribulation is just what it sounds like: distress, trouble, sadness. There's nothing good about it. Nothing that I can think of on earth is good enough. Oh, if I could go to one more football game. If I could have one more of those drinks. If I could do that thing one more time. Nope. That's why you got to make sure you're right with God. Because time is so short. Time is very short. And soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. And you say, Milkman, are you happy about that? Yeah. But at the same time, I want to finish everything that God's called me to do, the assignment that God has placed upon me. That's the way I look at it. You may look at it differently. Because obviously what one person thinks is going to be different from what another person thinks. But like I said, you do not want to be here during the days of the 7 years of the tribulation, because they're going to line up Christians. Just like I said last night, they're going to shoot the one and kill the ones that confess that they are Christian. Those who are Christian but they say they're not, or they say they don't know what they're talking about, they will be allowed to live, but they will not be allowed to go to heaven because they will have denied Jesus. And if you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, that's the sin that will not be forgiven. It's called unpardonable sin. Unpardonable, unforgivable. You can't be pardoned, like how every year the national turkey gets pardoned. That basically means he gets allowed to be. That basically means that that's the turkey that can't be eaten. You've heard of that, right? The national turkey pardoning every year, that they pardon a turkey. I think it's kind of funny. I didn't say dumb. I think it's funny, to be honest. Some people think it's just plain dumb. Not me. I kind of get a kick out of it. But obviously, to each his own. But needless to say, if you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, it's the unpardonable sin. There's no forgiveness for you if you do that. But, and of course, in the tribulation, like I said, it'll basically be, you know, that you won't, much of the church won't be here, so you won't really have good churches to go to. It'll be so hard to repel the evil that's going on that you will honestly be praying to God, wishing that you had made the rapture. It will ultimately be like hell on earth. And honestly, I hope that this is the only hell I know, is the earth. I hope that this is the closest to hell I get. I pray that this is the closest to hell I get. Because I want to be with my Jesus. And you today can give your life to Jesus and accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Takes only a few seconds. It's painless. And it costs no money. And you do that, when you give your life to Jesus, you can change your life forever. And you can have your sins commuted when you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You can have your sins commuted. And you can have your destiny changed from hellfire to heaven. And on Monday and Tuesday when I come back, I'm going to deal with hell on Monday night. And Tuesday night, I'm going to deal with heaven. And then Wednesday night, we'll deal with the thousand-year reign to close out the series. But if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, listeners, now is the perfect time to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Those of you who do know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, but you haven't been living for him, you were in a strait. Maybe he's not your first love anymore. Then you can come back home. Or maybe you've stayed with God for the most part, but you're just not where you could be. Maybe you're missing a bit more church than what you should be. Maybe you're doing a little bit what you shouldn't be on the side. Maybe you're just kind of not where you should be. Then you can just come back in and get back on board fully with God. God does not want you lukewarm. God said, I would rather that you were cold or hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. But the Laodicean church, he said, but because you are lukewarm, I will spew you out of my mouth. God said that. I didn't say that. God did. And you don't want to be that lukewarm, because according to God, that's the last place where he wants you to be. He'd rather you be cold or hot. And obviously that you're with God, but you're kind of maybe doing some things on the side, or maybe you've got one foot in the church, one foot in the world. That's lukewarm. That's kind of lukewarm. Kind of picking and choosing. And God doesn't want you to be lukewarm. Why is it called lukewarm and not Noah warm or Mike warm or something like that? Why Luke? You don't know why, do you? Nope, me neither. I just know what it is. It's called Luke. It's called lukewarm. So I care, listeners. I care about your souls, your soul, listeners, and I really want you to make heaven, because, like I said, time is short, and on Judgment Day is going to be the ultimate test, and you're going to have to give an account to God, because some of your students, college, high school, whatever, you take a test. And if you're real serious about it, you'll study ahead of time. Some of you college students, if you knew when fall exams were going to be and you already registered, like in January or something, if you could be, some of you would have read those books early on if you really wanted to pass that test. That good, that big of a deal. But what about the ultimate test on Judgment Day? There will be no A, B, C, D, or F grade. It's pass or fail. Yes or no. Yes, you make heaven. No, you don't. You know, I have to give an account for your life. Every thought, word, and deed. And that will be something else. You will have to give an account. And if you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior tonight, you can have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So listeners, I want you to say this after me. Say it. Only say it if you mean it. If you don't mean it, don't say it. Heavenly Father, I ask you to come into my life. Make me new. Make me like you. Change me. Fix me. Show me how you want me to be. Help me be like you. Teach me your ways. And I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen and amen and amen. Now, if you accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior for the first time, welcome to the kingdom of God. And listeners, if you have given yourself, if you come back home, welcome back home. And there's more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repents than over 99 righteous people who don't need to repent. angels would be in heaven having a big fireworks show right now. They're having a party. And so, like I said, I remember when I gave my life to the Lord, I was just this little guy. I gave my life to Jesus at this very young age. And, of course, I was brought up in a Christian home. So I didn't know, really, the other way. It's not permitted to start in light and end up in darkness. If you start in darkness, you can come to the light. You don't want to do the other way. Start in light and in darkness. Because that's not good to do it that way. It's not good to start in light and with darkness. And like I said, he's coming soon. And like I said, Monday night we're going to deal with hell. The different verses about it. And trust me, that's not the place you want to go. And I'm going to deal with the concept as part of that Monday night. I'm going to deal with the concept that there is no purgatory. There is no midway in between. There is none of that. That hell is not made up. Heaven is not made up. Both are real. One is just as real as the other. Obviously, one you do want to be in, one you don't want to be in. And we're going to be discussing that. Of course, Tuesday night we're going to talk about heaven, our heavenly body, and our heavenly home. And I'm going to reveal to you what the Bible says about it. And I hope, listeners, you'll be ready to laugh a bit Tuesday night as I reveal some personal opinions. You know, what I want to see. In heaven. And of course, you know, the concept, in my Father's house are many mansions. I want to prepare a place for you. To me, that means we have a house. And you say, will there be coffee shops in heaven? Or will you have your own little kitchen to make a coffee? You'll have to listen to find out. You know, what about sweets? You'll have to listen to find out. I could give you my opinion tonight, but I'm not gonna. Because I know in my mansion what I want and what I don't want. I'm just not gonna reveal it tonight. But I think there'll be different, you know, food tables and that. And, you know, there might be a cinnamon roll table, donut table type thing. There might not be. I kind of know, but I'm not going to reveal it tonight. And I've heard some people say, oh, well, there won't be no sugar in heaven. You don't need it. Those people just might not get it. They might not understand it. Maybe they do. Maybe they do. Maybe they don't. Have to wait until Tuesday night when we discuss it. And then Wednesday night, we're going to deal with the 1,000-year reign. And that's going to be awesome. Praise God. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time and the word, Lord God. Bless these people who tuned in tonight. Pray that they were changed as a result of this message. thank you, Lord God, that your hand is upon them and you're moving in their lives, that you're strengthening them, and that you're with them everywhere they go. And thank you that we are doers of the word and not hearers only. And now I confess Psalm 91 over us in the name of Jesus. Say that no plague shall come nigh us or our immediate family. We're going to live in great peace and great joy and prosperity. We'll be a powerful witness. There'll be no drug or drunk driver, no rapist, no burglar, no murderer, no suicide, no fire, no flood, no crash, no sickness, no disease, no corona, no Koran, no moron. None of this evil stuff will come near us or our immediate loved ones. We're going to be in great peace and great joy and prosperity and be a powerful witness for you, Jesus. In Jesus' matchless name, amen. I sure love you, and I'll see you until Monday. God first, God always.